Hey, everybody. I'm Tim.
And I'm Dean.
And we're the hosts of Talking Back. We're a retro-based podcast covering movies, comics, video games, and more.
Check us out every Monday, where we hit the rewind button and dig into some of our favorite content from the past. We like to keep things fun, lighthearted, and informative.
Do you feel like you need more nostalgia in your life? Then check out Talking Back. We're available everywhere podcasts are found.
The Blast from Our Past Network.
Hello and welcome back to Action Action. You know what? Let me take that again. Hello and welcome back.
Hello
to Action Action. This is the podcast that watches all the action movies, or a lot of them anyway. And we put them on a great big list that we've been rating and ranking these motherfuckers. I am Dustin. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, James.
Yep, that's me.
We're part of the BFOP network. Make sure you go on there, check out the other programs on the network. There's some great shit on there. And today we're going to talk about some Statham action, the latest Statham, the beekeeper. But you know, before we get to that, we like to do a little segment we call Sink or Swim on this show. James, what have you been sinking? What have you been swimming?
All right, I kind of have a double feature, sink swim.
Oh, nice.
Kind of. I got 1992's Aladdin.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Watch it with the kids.
Classic.
You know, I was able to trick them into that flat animation.
Yeah, that flat stuff, that gross flat animation.
And the thing that I never really think about, but you know, my kids like to point it out, especially my oldest, is, this is one of those movies where they sing all the time. Yeah, they don't like that.
I don't like it either, so I get it. I'm with them on that.
I'm just used to it because when I grew up, that's what it was.
Yeah, of course, they were all like that, yeah.
But they actually quite enjoyed it. You know, my oldest was like, actually, that was a really good movie.
She's like, fine, I guess this flat stuff isn't all bad.
You're not a total loser, limp dick fuck, Dad. So we watched that, but of course, you know, we watched that on Disney Plus. So what does it pop up with right away?
The live action.
The live action.
Oh, here we go.
So we watched the live action.
Oh, boy.
And it's okay, I guess. I mean, it's not my thing. Mm-hmm. I actually feel the CG and shit is like not great.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just don't like it.
I just don't understand why these things exist, these live action versions of these classic movies.
It exists for my kids, and my kids really liked it.
Yeah.
So they don't want to see that flat shit. They want to see this. Whatever, streaming.
Next time you try to show them a classic, they're going to be like, oh, but is there like a better version of this?
Yeah, The Lion King's great, but where's the live action Lion King?
I want to see the live action, quote unquote.
Yeah, version. Beauty and the Beast is great, but where's the live action Beauty and the Beast?
That real shit, Dad. None of this fucking old grandpa movies that you're trying to make us watch.
But you don't understand. Like, you have to understand that, like, where this movie, when it came out.
Context of the culture at the time, dude. Brother.
Brother,
suddenly,
listen.
Suddenly you're Hulk Hogan for some reason.
Yeah. Okay, so I watched those two. And then I watched Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh, okay, yeah, you did.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked it all right. I thought it was pretty decent.
I liked it, and I think watching it, I realized, you know what? I love watching Matt Damon in these types of movies.
Yeah.
Because he did Air. He was in Air. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, very similar.
Yeah,
and
another, like, biopic kind of thing.
I like these movies. I really like them.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I heard a lot that, you know, people really like Ford versus Ferrari, and even John really likes it. So thought, okay, well, you know, I got to check it
Bale,
out.
Christian Bale, I remember being pretty good.
Yeah,
that, right?
Yeah, Christian Bale's great. So I quite enjoyed it. And then I watched, today actually, I watched 1971's Duel.
Oh, wow. Spielberg.
Spielberg.
Debut.
I actually watched this from a recommendation from a coworker. Great movie.
Yeah, really good movie. Made for TV movie.
Made for TV. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. Like, I didn't know anything about it. You know, he was kind of talking like, because he knows I do the podcast. He's like, yeah, you seen Duel? And I'm like, no, I have no idea. He's like, I thought you were into movies.
Fucking poser.
I'm really glad he recommended it. I watched it. I actually watched the second half of it. My oldest daughter came home and she finished it with me. She's been really... She's been watching, like, she even watched, like, The Beekeeper.
Part of The Beekeeper. She's broadening her horizons.
Yeah, she's like, she asked me the other day, she's like, how old do I have to be to watch The Last of Us?
Oh, shit.
So.
That's a little intense.
It's a little intense. Yeah. So I said older than you are now.
We'll just leave it vague until I decide on a number.
But yeah, I mean, kind of all over the place this week with the movies that I've been watching, but...
No, a nice blend, yeah, different
just,
stuff.
Just kind of, you know, I don't know, mixes it up a little. You know, I got in this whole argument with John about... because he's always recommending shows and...
Former co-host of the show.
John who? He's always recommending shows and movies and stuff, and I'm just like... I'm not going to watch it. And he gets really upset. Like, really upset.
At this point, you're just doing it for the thrill of
seeing
his reaction.
So he said, we were talking about, because like the Oscars was on, the Flowers Moon.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
And I'm just like, yeah, I'm not going to watch it. Like, I just, there's nothing that I feel like I would get out of watching it personally, and it's really long and it's just nah. And he's like, I just don't understand you. You watch so much shit. And I'm like, what are you talking about, shit? Like what? And he couldn't name anything, of course. But it's just like, yeah, I watch what I want to watch. Like, what's the big fucking deal? Those movies are only like 90 minutes.
You don't want to watch the 4-hour one?
No, well, I guess in his view, it's like...
4 hours of misery porn?
Watch 4 hours of, like, something really good versus watching a Steven Seagal movie.
Right.
I kind of get more enjoyment sometimes out of watching a Steven Seagal movie. Sure. So...
I mean, I can get enjoyment out of both, but sometimes you're just not in the mood for a fucking 4-hour movie. Like, that's really serious and heavy and shit, so...
I mean... It's kind of ironic coming from him, somebody that refuses to watch Avatar 2. So
the greatest film ever made.
I mean,
we peaked cinematically with that movie.
100%.
I assume. I haven't seen it, but I assume that's the case.
I haven't seen it.
All right. Well, anything else?
No, that's about it.
Okay. Well, let me get into a few things here. I watched the first episode of that new series, Shogun. On FX.
Oh, yeah. I've been hearing a lot about this.
Yeah. The first episode was pretty solid. There's a couple more out already. Maybe two or three more out already I got to watch. But, yeah, I think I'm going to keep watching it. First episode was kind of long, but set everything up really nicely. And, yeah, I don't know. It seems kind of like, you know, maybe Game of Thrones, but, you know, for more historically accurate because it's about actual Japanese history stuff.
Okay.
You know, you don't have like the magic and stuff in there like Game of Thrones, but just comparing wise, like political maneuverings between different groups and stuff like that. But yeah, and it seems like it'll be some cool samurai action. Yeah, pretty interesting so far. They definitely spent some money on it, making it look good. So yeah, I'll be interested to keep watching that. And then I checked out the first two episodes of the new season of Dark Side of the Ring.
Oh, okay.
That's going on. So first episode was about earthquake.
Yeah.
From right here from Burnaby, BC, the Canadian earthquake.
Man, I fucking loved Earthquake.
Yeah. And then I watched the Buff Bagwell episode, and that one was actually crazy. That guy's had a crazy life.
Oh, yeah.
Bizarre life. At one point, he shot his own father.
Wow. Okay.
He was a stripper at one point. All kinds of stuff. But anyway, yeah, so that was interesting. So I always enjoy these Dark Side of the Rings, so we'll see where the season goes, but it seems like it'll be good so far.
Yeah, nice. So, going back to Shogun, is it based on anything?
I mean...
Other than history?
I don't know I don't know if it's like historical fiction where they've kind of taken some basis in fact and then just created characters and are doing fictional things,
right?
Or if it's trying to be more actually historically like fairly accurate. I'm not sure. I haven't read up on it enough to really know, but it's definitely at least historical fiction, right? Like it has some basis in historical fact. So but yeah, interested to check that out more. Movie wise though, let's see. I watched Witness for the Prosecution, the Billy Wilder movie from 1957. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
But it's like one of the, I mean, I know there's courtroom drama movies before this one for sure, but I think it's one where a lot of the tropes of the courtroom drama come from.
Mm-hmm.
The twists and turns that happen during the trial and, you know, these big reveals and stuff. It's a fun movie. It's a little hammy watching it now. Like some of the acting gets a little bit,
right,
a little over the top, I thought. Definitely, like, probably my least favorite of the Billy Wilder movies I've seen. But it was still definitely worth watching. It's fun to kind of trace back, like, oh, here's where that kind of trope started, that kind of thing, and this stuff. So it wasn't really surprising because it's, you know, through cultural osmosis, we've kind of seen the twists in this movie through other movies that have copied it, or TV shows or whatever. So like, I can't say I was surprised by the developments in the movie, but it's still well done, still entertaining watch. And then I did a triple feature of my own. I watched Missing in Action 1, 2, and 3, the Chuck Norris Vietnam War action films.
Okay.
Have you ever seen any of the Missing in Action?
I have not. Movies?
I think I saw at least, I might've seen all of them, but I think I saw at least two of them when I was a kid. But haven't seen them since then. This is a weird thing where I think they shot the second movie first, and it takes place before the first movie. It's called Missing in Action 2, The Beginning. And so I watched that one first, knowing that it took place
first.
Yeah, it took place first. And that's the one that people, I think, like the most, is part two. And it is, I guess, the best movie, quote unquote, in that it tries to be sort of a serious look at POWs in Vietnam.
Right.
Chuck Norris and these other soldiers are all in there, and it's kind of more dramatic until the end when they stage their escape, or at least, you know, Cannon's attempt at dramatic, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the first movie was the most entertaining of the three. It's directed by Joseph Zito, who did my favorite Friday the 13th, Part 4. He did The Prowler, another great slasher movie, and he also did Invasion USA, which is the number one Chuck Norris movie, as far as I'm concerned. So I thought the first one was actually the most fun. It's like dumber, and there's just more action and more shit that goes on in order for him to like break back into the country to free prisoners and stuff. So it's like this thing where the second one is the prequel of like, here's how he himself was a prisoner of war, and then he got out. And then in the first movie, he goes back into Vietnam to like, because he thinks there's more soldiers that need to be rescued.
Right.
And so he just breaks into the country himself illegally to find them.
The first one came out first, though.
Yes, it did.
Okay. So they thought, wow, this is so successful.
I think they shot them at the same time, the first two.
Oh, weird.
Or like very closely together. So, yeah, okay. I don't know. It's canon. But just wait. The third one makes things even more confusing. So you watch the first two and you're like, okay, the first one, he's this guy who goes into Vietnam to help get prisoners out. Yeah. You watch the second one, you're like, oh, okay, he was first originally a prisoner himself. And that's why in this first movie, he goes back to like help people. But then in the third movie, Braddock, Missing in Action 3, it like throws those timelines out, and it's like starts, the movie starts at the end of the Vietnam War when they're pulling out. Chuck Norris, it turns out, has married a Vietnamese woman who's working for the American government there. And then they get separated, and the during the, you know, them trying to get out, and there's all these riots going on. She gets separated from him. She's not able to leave with him. He finds their house burned out, and he finds a corpse, and he thinks that his wife is dead. Mm-hmm. So he goes back to America. 12 years later, this like monk comes to him that's been working with kids in Vietnam, and he's like, I met this woman who lives out near where we are, and she says she's married to you, and she has a kid. It's your kid that she was pregnant with when you got split up. And he's like, I don't believe you. She's dead, blah, blah, blah. And then the government's like, we heard you met with this guy. Don't even bother. Your wife's dead. He's like, well, now I know she's not.
What?
And then he goes back, of course, and he breaks back into Vietnam, whatever, sneaks in.
Okay.
The same as before, and he gets like a super cool speedboat and all this shit, and he's like this giant machine gun that has like a grenade launcher on it and everything. It looks awesome. He goes in, so this just like throws out, like, I'm like, well, wait, when did the first two movies happen if also he was married to this Vietnamese lady? Anyway, he finds them. The son is like 12 and is like, I hate you, Dad. You abandoned us.
Yeah. Fuck you, Dad.
And of course, so he's trying to rescue them. The wife, you know, spoilers for this 40-year-old movie, but the wife gets killed. And then it's just him and the son. And he has to help a whole parcel of children, like, get out of Vietnam. And there's like this awful general chasing them,
And then he's leading them. He teaches the kids, and then the kids fight back.
No, that would be awesome. He's leading them out. He's like has to protect them all. This huge gaggle of children, and it's funny because it totally has that like Temple of Doom. You know, the end of Temple of Doom when he brings all the kids back. It's like that kind of thing.
Okay.
Chuck Norris's Temple of Doom.
Cool. Cool.
That said, it does have some pretty awesome action in it, the last one, when he's got that grenade launcher and he's blowing up an entire Vietnamese fortress by himself and just mowing guys down. So I still even had some fun with that one, even though it is probably the weakest.
Yeah. I can't help think when you're saying, like, he breaks into Vietnam.
He breaks in. I mean, he sneaks just like, in.
I just thought of, like, a tagline for a movie. This isn't a prison break. It's a break-in.
It's a
prison break-in.
Prison break-in. Vietnam break-in. Last movie I'll mention, I watched this grindhouse movie called Mr. No Legs. This is about a guy who's like, he's like a boss in a drug organization. He's in a wheelchair. He literally has no legs. He has these like two sort of cases on his wheelchair arms, and they open up and there's like shotguns in them, and he like blasts fools with these shotguns.
Sweet.
There's these cops that are trying to break down his organization. One of the cop's sisters killed by his people, Mr. No Legs' people. But Mr. No Legs works for higher up people. He's not even like the main bad guy. It's just like, I think when they were like, what are we going to call this movie? They're like, oh, well, that guy is the best. We can throw him on a poster and people will go see this piece of shit.
Right.
Mr. No Legs.
Mr. No Legs.
So he's not, I mean, he's in the movie for sure. And he does have some awesome parts where he uses his shotguns. There's actually a really awesome pool scene where these guys come to kill Mr. No Legs, and they like, they like grab him and they throw him in the pool. And you're like, oh, he's fucked now, 'cause he's got no legs. No, it turns out he's a pretty good fighter in a pool. Let me tell you, he does kung fu on his knee, on his like stubs and stuff.
So this guy legit, the actor has no legs.
He's no legs.
Wow.
But yeah, he does kung fu even without legs.
The casting director is all right. I mean, give me a bunch of guys with no legs.
It's just, it was a time in movies when
they have to know how to do kung fu and swim in a pool.
Yeah, we'll see who's the best out
we'll
of all
We'll see who's the best.
This guy's the only one. But yeah, he's not even the main bad guy. He's not the main good guy or the main bad guy. He's just like one of the bad guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's some really fun shit in this. There's a bar fight in this that's really wild with crazy characters in it and stuff. It's, you know, it's a pretty shitty movie, but I had fun watching it.
Nice.
There's a car chase at the end that's like really long that I'm almost like, what is this, Gone in 60 Seconds now? There's like this really long car chase sequence. But yeah, it's a fun piece of shit. If you can find it, it's hard to track down, but, if you like that kind of thing, if that sounds appealing, hunt down Mr. No Legs.
Sweet.
All right. Well, let's get into this week's film. It is the 2024 Jason Statham hit, The Beekeeper. Let's hear a trailer.
You're a blessing, Mr. Clay. This place was crabgrass and weeds, and you brought it back to life.
Mrs. Parker and I were friends. She was like family. She was the only person who ever took care of me.
I just got a message saying that there's a problem with my computer.
Yes, ma'am, we got this.
Yesterday, she shot herself.
This is private property.
Do you know what they do here? Scamming the weakest in our society.
Buddy, I'm counting to three.
One, two, three. There, I did it for you. No, you can't take it. No, I'm gonna burn this place to the ground. You can't
take me. Will you stomp his ass out?
You're telling me one man did this. The only thing you know is he's a beekeeper.
A beekeeper, a beekeeper?
Well, that's not good.
Beekeepers is a special program outside the chain of command.
I protect the hive. When the system is out of balance, I correct it.
We have laws for these things.
Until they fail, then you have me.
My fingers, they cut them off. Oh, what the fuck, bro?
Don't move. You're going to get what she does. This is much bigger than a little phishing scam. You're going to
get what she deserves. The money's going all over the world. To people in finance, even government.
You are a problem. Goddamn right, I'm a problem.
No way he's coming here straight through the back entrance.
I figured I'd give the firefighters a break.
Somebody detain this guy. Ah!
We have to kill him before he kills his way to the top.
Honey?
It's flammable as fuck. Who knew?
All right. 2024 is The Beekeeper, directed by David Ayer. Starring Jason Statham, Emmy Revere Lampman, Bobby Nadiri, Josh Hutcherson, Jeremy Irons is in this fucking thing. Felicia Rashad is in here. Minnie Driver shows up. Let's read the synopsis. One man's campaign for vengeance takes on national stakes after he is revealed to be a former operative of a powerful and clandestine organization known as Beekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Okay, before we shit on this movie.
Oh, what if we're going to have different takes? What if I fucking loved it, James?
Well, I kind of do really like it, actually. To me, this is like a great knockoff John Wick.
Yes, they're going for a movie. John Wick thing. Not even necessarily in terms of the action itself, stylistically, but like the world building
the
element
world building.
Is trying to do a John Wick kind of thing.
I actually think this is like a really good knockoff. Obviously, it's not going to reach the caliber of a John Wick, but it's like close enough that you can get some enjoyment
right.
out
like,
of it.
I don't want to wait for 4 years for the next Wick, so I got some beekeeper to keep me, hold me over.
And the whole beekeeper stuff, which we'll get into, I just found it comical.
Oh, it's fucking hilarious. It's yeah. So absurd. Yeah, so I didn't really know what to expect from this. I thought, oh, you know, it looks like the trailer looks like standard Statham stuff that we are used to.
Man, he is sexy as hell, man. He can totally pull it off.
Yeah, absolutely. More so than some of his contemporaries, I think, for sure. And I think this movie did pretty well from what I heard when it came out. So I guess people were in the mood for this sort of thing when it hit theaters, which wasn't that long ago. And yeah, it's not, sometimes you just need one of these, right? you're like, yeah, I'm tired of all this other shit. Give me a little Statham beating the shit out of some people that deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
They do a good job of like setting it up so that you really want to see him beat the shit out of these people.
100%.
Yeah.
I did not. Okay, so we can kind of get into it. You read the synopsis, right? I wasn't paying attention, but but basically, he's a fucking beekeeper. He's renting some space.
He's literally a beekeeper.
No, yeah, literally, he's a beekeeper. He's renting some space from this nice elderly lady. She's not really that elderly.
The Cosby mom.
The Cosby mom. Is it the Cosby mom?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay, the Cosby mom. And basically she gets scammed by these internet sleuths. And she kills herself. And
it's like a nice lady. Yeah, they scam. They do one of those phishing scam things. And they've got this whole thing, the setup. It's like Wolf of Wall Street style.
Totally. These guys are scumbags. And I actually like it. I like what they're kind of doing. I like, not that they're scammy people, but I like the idea that these guys are the bad guys mm-hmm. in this movie. It just, instead of it being the government or something like that, whatever. But
I mean, they do try to kind of connect it to that later, but.
Kind of. But I like the concept. It's simple. You get the comedy of these guys being complete fucking douchebags.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Like they have these like colorful fucking like neon lit rooms where they have all these people on computers that are doing these scams for them. It's like a very organized thing. And they're all under like this umbrella of one guy played by Josh Hutcherson, who's like a perfect sort of, I don't know, modern wanker type of character. Right. Yeah, it's a good setup for sure. And immediately, like that guy that runs that first board of those guys, you're like, oh God, I want to see this fucking guy get killed.
Yeah.
So they do a great job in that, in terms of that. It doesn't waste any time. Like,
no,
we are introduced to him and him doing the beekeeping on her property. He goes to give her a jar of honey, finds her dead. The daughter gets shows arrested. Up. There's an FBI agent. Arrests him because she thinks he murdered her mom at first. I will say all the FBI shit in this movie sucks. It's really bad.
All the FBI stuff is like they pulled it from the TV show FBI. Like yeah, that's what it feels
it's
like.
It's very cheesy. They try to make it like funny, like to have this banter between her and her partner. But like it's so bad.
Okay. The only purpose to have like, the FBI, like her and her partner, is to have at the end where she gives him the nod that it's okay. Yeah. That's it.
Well, because during the movie, it's like, okay, so her mom has committed suicide because of this. And so she starts investigating it and, you know, whatever, she's on top of it. She's figuring it out. But like, at no point do I buy that she is upset about her mom dying. Like, she's just like, my mom's dead. Oh. And then she's immediately like, oh, we got it. Oh, so this guy has done this and blah, blah. Like, there's no grief or like anything like that. And I realize, you know, this isn't a movie where you're going to spend a lot of time on that kind of thing.
She's an FBI agent. She has no soul, right?
Like, right.
I guess that's what we're supposed to get from it.
I don't know. It's just kind of weird. Yeah. So I can't say I enjoyed that element of the movie. But that's not like, you know, that's like a small section of things. So all this,
like her partner just seems like he's just so fucking like bored out of his mind.
He's bored. He's kind of dumb. He doesn't.
Yeah. And he's also like, listen, I got kids. Yeah. Like this is a job.
Yeah. He's like more preoccupied with whatever he's got going on at home. And he's just kind of doesn't seem like he's very invested. It's, you know, it's funny because in most movies, it's like the person's partner's like, somebody close to them died, they'd be like, we're partners, like I'm fucking here for you kind of thing. And this movie, he's just like, yeah, whatever. Like,
yeah,
can't be bothered.
Exactly. But you know, okay. So the mom dies, Statham gets arrested, interviewed, all this stuff.
He doesn't exist. He doesn't exist.
He's a ghost. He's working with Steven Seagal in the CIA probably. But basically Statham's like, okay, I'm going to deal with this.
Yeah, I'm going to fuck these people up.
takes to
this is where he starts using all the cheesy like bee language about everything, like gotta take care of the hive and blah blah all this shit.
I love it. And her like how she explains the whole thing about like when the queen goes rogue, or when the queen produces bad offspring, right, there'll be a rogue bee that will kill the queen. I'm like, I'm fucking loving this shit. I'm like, is this real? Like, I gotta look this shit up.
I gotta look up this stuff about bees.
I'm gonna fucking learn all about bees.
I think it's so funny though that like, okay, he was part of this very secret like government agency called the Beekeepers.
Yeah,
that's like, you know, more secretive than CIA or anything like that. But he also, when he retired, decided he would literally become a beekeeper.
I think it's part of the job. You have to be a beekeeper.
You have to be a beekeeper afterwards. Yeah.
No, oh, I think during, like during and after, you have to be a beekeeper.
I mean, that's even better.
Yeah.
You have to know what it is to be a beekeeper.
You have to know. Like, you basically, when you fill in your application for this job, it's for beekeeper.
Have to be willing to be a keeper of bees.
So, this is my understanding. There's an association of beekeepers in America, and you join the Beekeeper Association. From that list of beekeepers, that's where the secret, top secret CIA, whatever, they pull from for these assassins.
Well, I guess so. But the way they talk about it is like Statham was the beekeeper for a while. So like at any given time, only one is in operation.
Yeah, he's like the cleanup guy. He's like the guy
And he quit. So then he goes to start using his very special skills that he has learned to get revenge. Yeah. And once that happens, they like send out the current beekeeper after him. And I thought that character was awesome and so ridiculous. That's when the movie starts getting a little wild, because at first you're like, this is standard Statham stuff. Yeah. And I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah.
But suddenly it kind of gets a little bit weirder. And I was like, okay, I like this.
So when that character shows up and the end character guy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, South African guy.
It's like South African. It's like you're watching like a Fortnite kind of like movie or something like that. Yeah. Like these characters are so crazy.
They're like over the top. And I liked that stuff. I wish there was kind of more of it actually. But he goes to that first call center that he tracks down using one of his old resources at the beekeepers agency.
At the beekeepers.
They are able to track them down, you know, cause these guys are ghosts too in a way. Right. And they, you know, you can't find them, and where are they doing these fishing things from and whatever.
There was a lot of how did you get this number?
Right. Yeah,
in
yeah.
this movie.
Yeah.
Not just from Statham, but from, what's his name? The dad.
Oh, Jeremy Irons.
Not
the dad. The former head of the CIA who now works for Josh Hutcherson's character in the movie. Yeah.
Which I love when he was like the beekeeper and he was like, oh, you're fucked. You're dead.
You're dead.
You might as well.
I'm looking at a dead man here. might as well just shoot yourself now. Which was also, you know, trying to do that Wick kind of thing.
Right? Yeah.
So he goes to that call center. I like that stuff. You know, he beats the one guy's face in with a telephone because nobody's listening to him when he's telling them they need to leave.
Yeah.
Listen, bro, I'm just trying to make some money here, okay? And he's like smashes the guy's face in. It gets pretty violent at times. Like at first I was like, oh, is it going to be kind of, you know, are they going to pull their punches in this movie? And at first kind of feels like maybe they will, but then it gets pretty gnarly at some points for this kind of movie, I think. But yeah, that stuff's fun when he's talking to the stupid guy who runs the place and beats up all the dudes and everything. He just starts dumping gasoline.
I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And then when that guy who was the head of that particular branch phones the big boss, Josh Hutcherson's character. And he's like, well, what the fuck? You're connected. Get some guys and go take care of this guy. What can you tell me about him? I'm like, he had a hat on.
He had an old truck?
He had an old truck and a hat. All right, we'll find him. So they do somehow find him, and then they fuck up his bees. Well, that was a mistake.
Oh, man. As soon as they fucked up those bees, I knew it. I knew it was game over.
Yeah. He just slaughters all of them with ease, these guys. And then we even have that scene where Jeremy Irons is like, you know, he's assembled a whole bunch of fucking gorillas basically to protect them. And he's like, you know, if any one of you are in a room with him, you're fucking dead. Like, it's only through numbers that maybe you have a chance of killing him. Like, that's how lethal he is.
I love his whole, like, because he knows what the beekeeper is capable of. And the whole time, he's just like, we're fucked. You're fucked. You're dead. Yeah. Like, you're all going to die. Like,
yeah, it's never like, you know, a lot of these movies, they're like, oh, no, we'll get him. Like, we're going to get this fucking guy. And then, like, you know, the beekeeper would kill each person. And he'd be like, oh, yeah. No, okay, well, we're going to find, we need someone even better than that. But he, yeah, you're right. Like, through the whole movie, he's like, yeah, I don't like our odds.
Yeah. No, we're done. We're like, done.
We're done here. Shit. And of course, we end up learning that Josh Hutcherson's character is the son of the current president
this
woman president. And she's used, her campaign was funded by money from these phishing scams that he does and stuff like that. Although I wasn't clear, I guess she wasn't really aware of that. Although I guess she knows her son is a total piece of shit. So like, where did the money come from?
Well, yeah. I mean, I kind of like that tie-in, and I like how she was like, whatever, I'm just going to tell the truth. And
I just thought it was funny that the movie went to that level of things where it was like, we're like connected to the fucking president even of this.
I mean, that's why it gets so insane, right? It goes from call center to...
rich tech bro guy.
To, you know, the rich tech bros, the CIA, the like special forces that are hired to come in, to I'm going to take on the Secret Service.
Yeah. The Secret Service and the President of the United States. But yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of fun action. I think when they come and attack him and he kills them all and then he saws off the dude's fingers and then he still lets him go,
and then,
he catches up to him down the road.
I loved he put the ratchet strap to him.
Yeah, that was great. That was a good death when he goes flying into off the bridge.
That was awesome.
The truck like tows him
because
in.
It's so random.
Yeah,
like that's what's so great, because that death in particular is just so random, and just like they happen to be there, and it's like the perfect way to just get rid of them.
Yeah. Just tie them up.
It just
it's like, stay here. Where the fuck am I going to go, man? you know, and you love to see it because, you know, they do just a really quick but efficient job of making you be like, fucking hate these guys. And I want to see them just get absolutely destroyed, which, you know, they do bit by bit. So, yeah, that was great. And then like the confrontation at the gas station, like we were talking about with the current beekeeper, when she is sent, Jeremy Irons has a conversation on the phone with Minnie Driver, who I guess is she now the current head of the CIA or something? I don't know. He phones her. He was the former head, and he's like, hey, I need help. We've got this situation. Da da da. I need you to send out. Or is she the head of the beekeepers? I didn't really get it.
I don't know.
But anyway, weird for her to show up in this. I mean, weird for Jeremy fucking Irons to be in this movie too.
Yeah.
But he's like, I need you to send out the current beekeeper or whatever. Da, da, da. And she's like, oh yeah, it's this person. And he's like, oh no.
Yeah, it's like that she's
person's
psychotic.
Fucking insane. And she shows up, and yes, she's like you said, like a Fortnite character. She's like crazy look, pot pink clothes and weird sunglasses or whatever. She shows up at the gas station with a fucking minigun in the back of her truck that she starts tearing up the whole gas station with.
But it's also like, okay, so with Statham, you get this idea or this perception that to be the beekeeper is to be like a secret assassin, someone that can go in, nobody knows who they are. They can kill someone and make it look like it's a natural death. mm-hmm. versus he can go in and fuck up everything, right?
Yeah.
But this beekeeper shows up, and there is no thought that this person knows how to be stealthy at
yeah,
all.
No. She's like an absolute insane person, lunatic.
Like, how do you explain, like... So
the police pulls up and she just starts firing an assault rifle into the yeah. front of the car, like immediately.
It just like, so then the world just starts like the most to not make sense.
It's like the most secretive yeah. organization in the world, but somehow
that's who they are.
This is who they are. They're like, yeah, you know what? She'll do a good job.
She'll do a good job.
She's like more insane than like Harley Quinn or something like that.
Yeah.
But that whole thing was, I thought, really fun. And that's where I was started to be more interested in the movie. I was like, oh, right. yeah, this is nuts.
Yeah, this is
okay,
nuts.
I like that we're going into a sort of insane direction here. It kind of weaves in and out of that, like, to being more of a standard Statham action thing. But this, the regular stuff is still fun and really violent. And, like, he goes to the main building or where the New York call center one. Yeah. That guy's great, that runs that one.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, yeah, so they send in all these... Jeremy Irons has hired all these guys as extra security. They won't let the FBI in the building. They're like, no, this is private property, blah, blah, blah. And so the FBI is like, oh, we'll set a perimeter outside.
Interesting choice in this scene.
Yeah.
Where Statham shows up. Yeah,
it's like instead of sneaking in like we would see in so many movies.
Yeah.
Like some Mission Impossible shit or something. He just like walks up and starts talking to them and is like, yeah, I'm going to have to go inside. And so... You guys, I don't want to hurt any of you. Like, just leave me. Let me go in. It's like, it's very direct. It's like, let's not fuck around. Let's just do it. And of course, they're going to try to stop him. So he has to beat up all the FBI soldier guys. you know, and with them, it's funny throughout the movie, too, because especially in the last scene, the last set piece, there's like a mix of, you know, the government guys and the people that work for the criminals together.
Yeah.
And you'll notice he like maims the government people, but right. he fucking kills the other guys. I was like, he's that good. He's just like,
yeah,
doing what's right for each person. It's like to take him on a case by case basis. This right. guy is just going to knock him out. This guy going to put a knife through his throat. Like,
man.
So good. Meanwhile, the FBI lady and her partner are chasing him and figuring out all this stuff about who he is and the organization. That stuff's really uninteresting. Their banter's really bad. I just, none of that part worked for me. And then like when they present to their boss, like what's going on, none of it feels like, I don't know. It's not grounded in any kind of reality. Like you're doing this No. world building, but it doesn't really work. I mean, it's fun and everything. It's funny and goofy, but like none of it really works.
It doesn't work at all because, so these two FBI agents are laying out the like, oh, it's this organization, the beekeepers, and they do this. And the assistant to the FBI, assistant director, right? He's like, oh, let's just stick to the facts, right? And then later she has like the beekeeper handbook on like how to keep bees.
Oh, she gets it out of the truck of the woman that Statham kills at the gas station. Yeah.
Right. And then she's like, oh, actually there can be a rogue bee and this and that. Yeah. And there she's explaining this. And then the assistant director is like, you have a blank check.
Yeah.
Get it done. Get
whatever. Well, when she's talking about all the bee shit, he's like, yeah, yeah, stick to the facts. But when she's like, yeah, okay, so this man is going after these people, then he's like, all right, do whatever it takes to fucking take him down.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
It never feels like, I don't know, like the reality of the movie you can take seriously for even a second because it doesn't take the time to do any of that stuff well, that part of the movie. It's like, yeah, yeah, we don't care about this shit. Like, we're moving back to the action with Statham killing people, which is fine. But you take a movie that's merely entertaining and fun, and you could have, if you executed those elements well, we would be like, we could be talking about this as the serious like Wick contender rather yeah. than like, oh yeah, this is a fun enough thing in that vein.
The problem is like, so these FBI agents, basically, I don't know if they did it on purpose or what, but usually what happens in a movie like this is, so the FBI agents are chasing Statham. Statham is badass. He's killing whoever, right? But usually what it is, is the FBI agent or a detective or somebody will say, listen, my gut feeling's telling me we need to do this. Then the captain or whoever is going to say, no, no, we're not doing that. There's no way you're off this case, right? But the whole time the FBI agents are saying this, the assistant director's like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, cool.
It makes no sense, right?
And also, like, I feel like in another movie, like you're saying, they'd be like, you're off the case. Like, we can't have you in charge of this. You're getting too close to some stuff that you don't have.
Your mother died.
Your mom died, for example. Why are you even on this case?
Exactly.
It's because you've handled it like as if you don't even give a shit that she died. Like, Statham cares more about the fact that your mom died than you do.
So, and that's what's crazy, because you could have had all that stuff where she's pulled off the case, her partner's still involved, she convinces her partner to let her in on things, it gets found out, she fucks up and lets Statham get away by accident, then she's really suspended now, and in the end, she still gets in and still has that moment where she nods her head.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
You could easily done that. I mean, and I think the movie would be better for it, but as it is, I think it's almost because of some of these crappy, the glue that's holding the movie together is so shitty that like it kind of makes it more fun in a certain way. The whole thing, the whole overall movie is just like, this is like, what the fuck? What is this movie? Like, it's kind of wild.
I mean, I would have gone the way that I was saying, where she was like suspended or off the case. Listen, your fucking mom just died.
Or you're getting too close to government secrets that you have no business knowing. Okay. None of that happens.
And then I want her to be fucking just obsessed with bees. And I want every scene she pops into, she has like a jar of honey, or she's putting honey in her tea. She's just like obsessed with bees.
That'd be great.
Like just out there stuff.
Oh, jeez. Then she like finds some honey in his barn and she's like, oh, this looks good.
And then And then there's like a scene where it's like, the beekeeper, he's at this building. And then so they leave the FBI office of wherever they're at. And then a delivery guy comes in. He's like, I got an order of 100 bees.
Well, this would be just like Glimmer Man, where he's getting all the deer penis, except she's like,
we just got a fucking
box. I have a box here full of bees. I got that are alive.
Yeah, what's her name in the movie? I got a box for or a box of bees for Agent whatever her name is.
I like this. Agent Verona Parker.
Verona Parker. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, the action stuff is good. When he's in the building and taking out the SWAT guys, like the special hired guys, he has that good sort of knife fight with the one dude in the hall and all that stuff. The elevator, I thought, was pretty good.
The elevator's great.
Yeah, when it crashes to the bottom and then like all the guys' corpses are like falling out of it. And the FBI's there. That was pretty good. The one guy gets chopped in half and stuff by the elevator. The lines are so cheesy. What does he say to them when he cuts the elevator? He's like, are you done? He says, when they're, cause they're shooting through the roof of the elevator to try to get him.
Yeah.
Then he like blows them up. So they fall. And he's like, he's like, you're done.
Yeah. I think you're done.
It's so bad. So I guess basically after that is heading towards the final confrontation at the president's residence. Meanwhile, yeah, tech like bro, we found out that tech bro is the son of the president. That's why the CIA guy works for him. He's like, oh, hey, mom, can I come home for the weekend? Just going to hang out with some of my friends,
my
bros. She's like, no drugs.
I mean, he is definitely tech bro douchebag the whole time, even right to the end.
Right to the end. Yeah. He does it pretty well. Like, you just want to see his face get smashed.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of wish he tried to fight instead of just getting shot in the head.
Yeah, because this is a case where you would really love to see one of those Seagal style beatdowns, you know, where like Out for Justice, where he just beats the ever living shit out of the guy a bunch and the guy keeps trying to fight him and doesn't land a hit and like just gets his arm broken, his fingers broken, and you know, all that kind of shit. Yeah, that would be good. I mean, his death is fine, but yeah, it would definitely have been better if he
it was kind of like
shit kicked out. A little anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But he has that big fight with the South African guy. That's
that
pretty
guy
good.
Is fucking awesome.
Yeah, you're just a man, bro.
Honestly, as soon as that guy showed up, I'm like, I didn't know I was missing this in my life.
Well, he's another, because he's like the other character that's way over the top.
Yeah, he's like another Fortnite character.
Yeah.
But it's just like, why is there not more of these guys in action movies?
There should be more of this. I mean, and in this movie, I would have liked more of this.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of thing.
I mean, they kind of tried to. They didn't give them any lines, but his whole crew, they were all like a collection of these type of guys. But none of them really had any
They didn't
lines.
Get to say anything. Yeah, they just get killed. But they're looking for Statham at the party. He's like blended into the crowd. He does sneak into that one. He has to like go from the truck to truck. Once they've cleared one of the trucks, he comes out of the bottom of one at the back of the line and goes up to the front one and stuff and gets in. I thought that was pretty decent. And of course, the FBI agent lady's there, and she's going to uphold the law. Like, she's after Statham. She's not
even after
the tech people, really. She like cleans up after him and like arrests the guy in New York after. Oh, yeah. He uses the stapler on his face over and over again. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. And the guy's like, oh, I've got you now. But he's got him on his knees with the gun and stuff. Yeah. He's going to shoot him. To be or not to be. Because there's all these B fucking puns in the movie.
And he's
I think I'd have to choose B. And then he blows up the explosives.
I think I'd have to choose B.
God. B. They really hammer home the B stuff.
Okay, so honestly, at the end where he like gets his wetsuit on and then just disappears into
James Bond style
water. Yeah. I'm like, what? Really?
That was a weird ending.
But
yeah, he fucks up everybody at this party, SWAT guys. And like I say, he only injures the government people, but he kills all the other guys. And it's just funny to see him cause he'll go back and forth from one to the other, doing, you know, a different thing. But that stuff's pretty great. And then we have that final confrontation with the bro.
Yeah.
He takes his own mother. He kills hostage. Jeremy Irons. Does he kill Jeremy Irons in that scene?
No.
No, Jeremy Irons, Statham like breaks his hand.
Yeah.
Because Jeremy Irons is like, no, don't go in there. You've made your point, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He's like, my point is to kill them.
I mean,
I have to protect the hive.
Really, when you think about like that beach house and what's going on and the fact that there's so many secret service.
But also so many witnesses because they're like having a party there.
Exactly. It just seems so insane.
It's ridiculous. The whole movie is just completely absurd.
I can't wait for the second one.
There's definitely going to be a second one, right?
I can't wait for it. It's like this is its own world now. Beekeeper in Italy or something.
Oh, we got to workshop some titles for the sequel. It's going to get really good. It can be called
Bee or Not
to
Bee.
Yeah, exactly. Beekeeper 2, to be or not to be.
Yeah. Beekeeper 2.
Oh, man. And maybe we'll get Seinfeld in this. We can have him team up with the Bee movie and stuff. Yeah, great fight with the South African guy. That's where Statham actually finally takes some real damage. That's the only guy that manages to like fuck him up at all.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that was enjoyable. And he's like, you're just a man. And he's like, I know.
I know. Thank you.
He shot that guy through the cheek already when they were outside. And then that guy's like, I'm going to fucking kill him. He's got like a big hole in his fucking cheek. And then he stabs him in the same hole that he already shot him through. Pretty good. Fucks him up, kills him. Then the final confrontation. Who does the tech bro guy kill in that scene? He shoots somebody.
Oh, he shoots the assistant director.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then he takes his own mom hostage, and Statham ends up just shooting him in the head. The FBI agent has her gun on him, and she's like, you can't do this. That's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he's like, whose side are you fucking on? Kind of thing. Like,
right.
He's like, you have to decide. Do you work for the law or do you work for justice? And then he shoots him in the head, jumps out the window, She lets him go, even though she has a bead on him. Of course.
She's
back in part two, right?
Oh, yeah. Or it's just a whole new cast.
Yeah, it's just leave that all behind and start fresh with Statham somewhere else. This is like Equalizer 2 is the other thing that comes to mind, the Equalizer movies.
I actually want him to set up in like a small town in like, I don't know, Mississippi or like Tennessee or some shit. And then he like, you know, befriends the local whoever and then ends up having to fight this gang of like meth dealers or something like that, that he's got to like...
Or I like your Italy idea. He's in Italy.
Oh, yeah.
He's working for some bigger place doing beekeeping. Then, like, people who know who he is come after him, and they fuck up the family that he's come to live with that have taken him in, and they destroy the bees there, and he has to do it all over again.
Because guess what? That scam network is larger than America. It's just bringing in the
it's
exact
tied into
same.
The Russians. Yeah.
The exact same.
They didn't know
story.
It, but they were actually working for Russians the whole time.
Right.
There's a lot of ways you can go with the bees, with the bee man. I don't know. I had fun. I do think like there's a lot of weak elements to the movie, like, you know, dialogue stuff. All of the connective tissue stuff in the movie is kind of poorly executed.
Right.
But the other stuff is so fun that, you know, I didn't really care.
Yeah, for what it is, like, it's a good just brain dead movie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, don't put it on thinking, oh, this will be as good as the John Wicks. But if you're in, like you were saying, James, if you're in the mood for something in that vein, that'll kind of, I don't know, satiate that craving a little bit while you're waiting for the next really good action film, like, this is going to be fine. This is going to do the job.
Yeah.
There's some pretty decent action in it for sure. I wish they didn't have the CG blood, but other than that.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of is what it is, I guess.
You can't, you know, it's just what you have to expect nowadays. Right. But what should we rate it?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it.
Get to the ratings.
So the budget on it was $40 million.
Yeah.
John Wick was 25.
The first John Wick. But this is living in a post John Wick world where they're like, okay, we'll give a budget for this thing, right?
Yeah, that's true. You got to go bigger sometimes, you know, with the CG.
What did it make?
Let's see. So domestically it was $65 million. Worldwide, $152 million.
So it definitely made money.
Yeah.
So we'll likely see a sequel.
Yeah.
Down the road. Well, I'll go first. I gave a plot a 5. Not the greatest plot. Action 7. Pacing 7. Quotes and tropes, I gave a 4. Because they're just not terribly good. My reaction's a 6. I had fun. It's not a classic. It's not the next Wick or anything like that. But it's a fun time.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, what does my overall score end up being? It's a 5.8.
Yeah, so I gave plot 5, action kills 7, pacing 6, quotes and tropes 4, but my personal reaction's a 7.
Well, so we end up with the exact same score.
So overall 5.8, which is tie, or no, which overall is 5.8, and I'm already saying it's a tie. I haven't even looked yet.
Very well could be. It's likely with as many movies as we have on the list.
All right, 5.8. So at 138, we have One Tough Bastard, The Italian Connection, Expendables 2, and Broken Arrow.
I mean, this one feels really easy to me. This goes to me after Italian Connection, before Expendables 2. Fucking one. What is the bastard one?
One Tough Bastard.
That movie's so
great.
Fun.
So much fun.
Italian Connection, really great. One that Ryan came on to the show to do, the Polizioteschi movie. That's a really fun one. Expendables 2 is the best of the Expendables movie, but still not that great. So I think for me, it goes in between.
Yeah. I mean, I would put it probably right after One Tough Bastard, but
yeah, oh yeah.
Whatever, I don't really care.
Yay.
So it'll be new number 140.
140.
All on right. the list. So yeah. Hey, that's not bad.
It's in the mix.
That's not bad.
Hey, it's not that far behind One Tough Bastard, and that's a really fun movie. So
that's definitely a fun movie.
It's not doing too badly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Check us out on Instagram. I'm on there. You can chat with me on there. Make sure you check out the other shows on the BFOP network. We're going to go on a little bit of a hiatus here. We'll see what's up, what's going to happen. But so we'll probably take the Patreon stuff down, but that'll be a little while before you guys hear this anyway. So, yeah, but check us out on Instagram. Check us out on Letterboxd. That's where the list lives. At Action Action. Is it Action Action Podcast or Action Action, James? I never remember.
On Letterboxd, it's Action Action.
Okay, it's Action
Instagram
Action.
Is Action Action Podcast. Patreon is Action Action Podcast, I think. Yeah, so... Yeah, so a bit of a hiatus. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
See what happens.
And I don't really know.
You never know. Things are in the air, guys. But thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks.
At the very least, you're going to hear from us again at some point, so...
At least one more.
At least one
more. We're making it
we'll
pretty
see.
Grim here.
Yeah, it's sounding grim. If there is only one more, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a supporter in any way that you have over the years. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
We'll talk to you soon. Maybe.
He's got scallions.